how quickly the time has arrived for the concluding talk of the Imitate Jesus Convention. We're eager to hear all that Brother Rodney Jung, a member of the Canada Branch Committee, has to present to us in the talk entitled, As the Storm Approaches, Maintain Your Focus on Jesus.
It's hard to believe that 3 days have already passed. Brothers and sisters and friends, have you enjoyed your convention? This convention has been good for us. We know what's coming. We need to build our courage and our strength. Let's take a look at a part of Jesus' life, the life of Peter, and let's gain some lessons that we can learn from what happened to Peter. So please, take your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 34. We'll give you time to look it up. Matthew 14, 22 to 34. Then, without delay, he made his disciples board the boat and go ahead of him to the opposite shore while he sent the crowds away. After sending the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. By now, the boat was many hundreds of yards away from land, struggling against the waves because the wind was against them. But in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When they caught sight of him walking on the sea, the disciples were troubled, saying, "It is an apparition." And they cried out in their fear. But at once, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you over the waters." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked over the waters, and went toward Jesus. But looking at the windstorm, he became afraid. And when he started to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, stretching out his hand, Jesus caught hold of him and said to him, "You with little faith, why did you give way to doubt?" After they got up into the boat, the windstorm abated. Then those in the boat did obeisance to him, saying, "You really are God's son." They crossed over and came to the land in Gennesaret. As long as Peter maintained focus on Jesus, he could walk over turbulent waters. But what happened to Peter? You know, he got out of the boat. Let's look at our video. Peter was there, walking on water. He started to look, and he started to sink. The windstorm overwhelmed him. It got a hold of his emotions, and he lost focus on Jesus. You know, friends, let's be honest. It was the rest of the 12 didn't say, "You know, I want to walk on water too." They're all behind looking, "Oh, my, it looks like he's, he's starting to sink. Poor Peter, somebody help him." But they never got out of the boat. So keep in mind, Peter had some faith. He had some faith. He asked, "Can I walk over water?" And Jesus said, "Come." He started to walk in water. But then he looked at the windstorm. He didn't focus on Jesus, and he started to sink. Isn't there a lesson for us? As the storm approaches, make sure we all focus on Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, because there the Apostle Paul really summed up the need for us to focus on Jesus. He put it very well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. As we look intently at the chief agent and perfecter of our faith, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured a torture stake, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to look intently. What does that mean? It means a concentrated gaze. It means focus. You look at the verse before. How does it end? Verse 1. It ends by saying, "Let us run with endurance the race." So you and I are in a race. But if we're in a race and we start to look to the side, this way, we look behind how far we've come, what happens? We might slip. We might fall. We have to concentrate on the finish line. And guess who's standing at the finish line? The chief agent, perfecter of our faith, Jesus. We need to look intently at Jesus. Focus on him. Peter knew that Jesus in the past had calmed the waters. You remember the time Jesus was in the back of the boat and they were struggling against the storm that had come up all of a sudden on the Sea of Galilee? And they waked Jesus and said, "Lord, we're going to die." And what does Jesus do? Remember? Stands up. Hush! And instantly, the sea became like glass. And they all went, "Wow, you are God's son," just like they said this time. Peter had seen Jesus perform that kind of miracle in the past. But this time, he lost focus. He wasn't looking intently at Jesus Christ. So friends, sometimes as we go through life, Satan's world, we may have storms that come up. Storms that seem to toss us around. And if we're not careful, we can start to sink. We have to maintain our focus on Jesus. Concentrated gaze to make sure we're following him. Well, this program has really helped us to do that, has it not? We're very thankful for the 50 preceding parts that have included practical demonstrations, soliloquies, interviews. Wasn't the Watchtower today interesting? What about all the videos this morning? Would you like to welcome the 24 new brothers and sisters that got baptized yesterday? And many of you brothers and sisters made the effort to volunteer, and we thank you very much for your service. This convention ran smoothly because of your work and all the efforts that you made. And the brothers let me know that they're very, very thankful for the management here at the Centrium and how they've worked with the convention committee over the last weekend and also this weekend. So they're very, very thankful for that. They've been marvelous to work with. Would you, brothers and sisters, like to thank them also? So during the past 3 days, we've learned a lot about Jesus and imitating him, his conduct, his teachings, how to train others, delegating authority, his warmth, compassion, conviction. Do you have your program? Can you get it out? And if you have a tablet, we'll give you another 3 minutes. You know, I still use the big one, you know, just I use the tablet too. But look at your program, look at the highlights. On Friday, some of these highlights were amazing. We had all sorts of interesting parts. And we had the new 16-page brochure at the end of the program, Return to Jehovah. What a thrilling invitation that was by Jehovah, saying, return to me, and I will return to you. And, you know, I have had so many brothers and sisters come up to me and say, there's someone in their family, and just about every family there is, someone who needs this brochure, who needs to return. So we know this is a real blessing from the governing body. Saturday, we were thrilled to see 3 new Become Jehovah's Friend videos. Caleb and Sophia. My goodness, they're so famous. It's a good thing they're not real. But isn't it a wonderful arrangement? Parents can use those things to teach lessons to young ones. And frankly, us adults learn so much from those videos too, don't we? And how happy we were to receive the new book, The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Friends, you'll enjoy that publication. It just pulls you to Jesus and what he was like as a person. And it just helps us to learn more about him so that we can imitate him. And gifts keep on coming. At this time, we are pleased to inform you that we have another gift from Jehovah, a new feature-length video entitled, What is True Love? This video was based on a drama presentation at our conventions in 2012. So I have a question. Would you like to see a preview? Okay.
When I see other girls with their boyfriends, I want that too.
Can I buy you something to drink? My treat. Anything.
But he's not baptized? I thought you knew that. And no, I just assumed. I feel like I have my goals, and I don't think you're on the same page.
I can never be with someone that expects perfection.
It seems like everyone's found someone but me.
We just weren't right for each other.
I know. I told her the same thing. You're a great guy. Are you sure about getting into something with him? His spirituality is Liz, we see things differently.
Liz? Megan!
Hey!
How are you?
Oh, it's so good to see you!
So good seeing you too!
She's beautiful. So, what are you still doing here?
What do you mean?
I just thought you'd be doing something else by now. You're never home. You never spend any time with your family.
Where's the sweet, supportive girl that I married?
Whatever happened to reaching out and getting baptized?
And you wonder why I'm never here? This conversation is over.
That's not all that's over.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Fine. Any way you want.
Enjoy your singleness while you have it. We did. And then if that special someone comes along, you'll get to start a whole new chapter in your life.
What crew are you on?
Finishes.
Sounds exciting.
I don't know what it means either.
You're going to enjoy that video presentation. You'll be able to pick it up after the end of the program. Why is this convention so good for us? Because the Great Tribulation will be unprecedented, unsurpassed. It is described as a day of storm, a day of desolation. Are these things in the scriptures to scare us? No. Jehovah is a kind, loving father. Just as a father knew of a hurricane coming, he would warn his family about the dangers. Jehovah is the same way. We know what's coming in the future, the Great Tribulation, and he's warning us to prepare us, to get us ready for what we will face. We don't have to train for the Great Tribulation by getting ourselves into physical shape, stockpile food. No, Jehovah says, I'll look after you. We do need to imitate Jesus Christ. We do need to focus on him and the instructions he will give us through the organization. Did Peter learn the lesson? Yes. He learned the lesson. For the rest of his life, he focused on Jesus. And when he wrote his second book, he said this in chapter 3, since things like these are to be dissolved, he didn't say stockpile goods, but he said, consider what type of person you are. Focus on what lies beyond the Great Tribulation, friends. Keep your eyes focused intently at Jesus. That will help us to be the kind of person Jehovah will assist. But right now, we may face lesser storms in our life. Lesser storms that are tribulations in the flesh, problems we may face right now. It's important for us to remember that Jehovah does not cause these difficulties, but he allows them. For what purpose? Take your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all undeserved kindness, who called you to his everlasting glory in union with Christ, will himself finish your training. He will make you firm. He will make you strong. He will firmly ground you. Today, you young ones, you may face real tests and trials at school. You may be forced or to compromise your faith. And we know we appreciate you so much. You're so faithful. We love you for it. Sometimes you parents, a child may not be responding to the training that you had hoped. If you're a parent, that can hurt. It can cut right down into the inside. Or some of you and families, you're facing chronic illness, disease, perhaps the loss of loved ones. All of these things weigh upon us. They're like storms that come up in our life. They're things that are difficult to face. Or maybe we struggle with internal, emotional problems and issues. Perhaps depression. Never forget that Jehovah loves you. If he invites those who are inactive, those who have strayed from the organization, and he says, "Return to me," how do you think he feels about all of you who are so faithful after years and years and stick to the truth? He must be so proud of you. And soon, Jesus Christ will say, "Hush!" to all the problems in our life as he brings us into the new world, eliminating those things during his 1,000-year reign. And we know he can. We saw the videos and the drama, part 1 and 2. We saw what Jesus can do when he was on earth. Imagine what he can do when he's in heaven. When Peter was sinking, Jesus said, basically, "Peter, why did you give away to doubts? Don't look at the storm. Grab my hand." He gave Peter instructions. Did he give us further instructions? Yes. For you young ones in the audience, if you're driving home tonight and you're in the car with your parents or van, and up on the head on the road, you see a policeman with his hand out like that. What does that mean? Stop. Did Jesus ever say that? Let's take our Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and look at a couple of occurrences in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said that. And what lessons we can learn as we look intently at Jesus' focus on him. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. What's the first word? Stop. Stop storing up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. Jehovah God, in Isaiah chapter 41, says to us, "I am Jehovah your God, grasping your right hand, the one saying to you, 'Do not be afraid, I will help you.'" As Jehovah's servants, we reach up and we grasp Jehovah's hand. We have to make the effort to lift our arm to grasp the sovereign of the universe. But what does Satan try to do? You ever had someone bring you a box? You know, it's heavy. You know, like an apple box. And he's struggling to hold it. And he says, "Oh, this is for you." And he's holding it with two hands. What do you instinctively do? To grab the box, you reach out with two hands to hold the box. Satan is offering all the materialistic things of life. Why? Because he wants us to keep busy with his things. He hands the box and says, "Go ahead, take it." If we grab the box, what happens to this arm? We have to let go of Jehovah to grab the box. Friends, it's important that we maintain our hold on Jehovah God, especially with what we're going to face, because He still leaves us one hand to do work, to do all the other things we need to look after ourselves. Stop storing up treasures on the earth. Was there another stop? Take a look at 6:25. On this account I say to you, stop being anxious about your lives as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your bodies as to what you will wear. Does not life mean more than food, and the body than clothing? Jehovah guarantees that He will meet the needs of His people as long as we seek the kingdom first. That's what says in 6:33. And Jehovah has a perfect record. Remember all of His prophets? Do you remember the prophet that was fed by ravens, brought meat, had water and bread? Jehovah looked after him, and he was running for his life. Sometimes in life, we have to remember to, as the scripture says, throw our burden on Jehovah. Now, to throw something, what do you have to do? Well, you have to pick up the ball or the rock. You have to pick it up and you have to throw it. That's how you throw your burden on Jehovah. But what if the burden is just so heavy that you can't even pick it up? Then what? Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 5. Notice what it says. 37:5. Commit your way to Jehovah. Rely on Him, and He will act in your behalf. Now note the footnote. 37:5. Literally, roll your way upon. So if you can't pick it up to throw the burden, then it says roll it. Roll it to Jehovah. And He'll say, I'll look after it. If it's that heavy, don't let it sink you. Throw it or roll it to Jehovah. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. There's another stop. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. What is the first word? Stop judging that you may not be judged. Who is going to judge the sheep and the goats? Jesus. He said, I'm the resurrection, the way and the life. He is the judge. Sometimes we have to be so careful as imperfect persons to not judge others. You remember the video this morning? The sister at the Kingdom Hall. I wonder why I didn't get invited. I never get invited to that sister. And you know, it's amazing in our imperfect minds how we jump to conclusions. How important it is that we, when we think of our brothers, we never use the term, well, he's got a long way to go. No, it should be positive. Say, boy, he's come a long way. And we're not judging. Sometimes, friends, you know, we judge ourselves. We judge ourselves as worthless or not worthy. And yet, Jehovah has said, I sent my Son to die for every human. I paid the highest price. You are not worthless. If He says, return to me, for someone who is not serving Him, how does He feel about you? Avoid judgments in the ministry. You're walking down the street. There's a man washing his car, a couple doors down. You say, oh yeah, when we get there, He'll go inside. He goes inside. But you knock still on the door, and you place two magazines. He was really nice. What do we say in our hearts sometimes? Oh, he just took him to get rid of us? You know, friends, don't judge. Don't judge people. That's Jesus' job. We just present the information. We just tell people about the good news. We imitate Jesus Christ. We focus on him. While we had stopped, what if you see a policeman going like this? What does that mean? Go! Did Jesus ever say go? Yes. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If then you are bringing your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go away. First make your peace with your brother and then come back and offer your gift. Be a peacemaker. Bring about peace where it does not exist. Go and make peace. Didn't we see that in the videos this morning? Friends, silence the storms of the heart by forgiving and letting go of resentment. It's so important. Chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. What's the first word? Go. Go in through the narrow gate, because broad is the gate and spacious is the road leading often to destruction, and many are going in through it. Whereas narrow is the gate and cramped the road leading off into life, and few are the ones finding it. You know, friends, we're in a congregation. Never feel it's cramped. It may be cramped in the sense of we're a big congregation now, but we need each other. We can't go worship Jehovah by ourselves. Here Jesus said, the road is cramped. There's people on it. We have to be together. We'll survive the end together. It's so important. And remember Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the famous phrase, go therefore and make disciples? How important it is that we share in this work. And isn't it true? Sometimes you may be facing a personal storm, but you go to the field service group that morning. You go out and you forget your troubles. You forget your troubles and you have a great morning in the ministry, and it's like the burden is lifted off your shoulders. That's where Holy Spirit is. That's where Jesus said, go. Focus on Jesus Christ. It's important that we continue to be positive. Jehovah is an example of being positive. You imagine all the work he made in making this little planet in this solar system on the edge of the Milky Way special. Special that we could see the stars. We're in the right place to see a solar eclipse, lunar eclipse. We are in the right place to see all of the other things happening in the universe that some, many of them, we don't even understand. Jehovah spent all that time turning this rock into a beautiful place to live. Then he made paradise. Then he made Adam. Then he made Eve. And within a short time, these first two humans quit. Satan quit and abandoned Jehovah. Did Jehovah remain positive? Absolutely. Within one day, he gives the outstanding promise of Genesis 3:15. And he says, I'm going to put something in place. There'll be enmity. There'll be a difference. But I want everybody to see there's a difference. The way I am and you are, Satan. Always be positive. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3. Notice how Jehovah God was positive. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Jesus is finished baptized. He's out of the water. And verse 17, look, also, a voice from the heavens said, this is my Son, the Beloved, whom I have approved. How long was Jesus baptized? 10 seconds? 20? And Jehovah already expressed absolute confidence. Was he already tested by Satan? No. That's the next chapter. And in spite of that, Jehovah expressed absolute confidence. Jehovah and Jesus show a positive attitude. Jesus had the same attitude. When Lazarus was resurrected, he told Martha, Martha, your brother will rise. Jesus gave way to tears. The tears that were not negative, but actually were positive. His love and compassion for Mary and Martha moved him to tears. Even when Jesus was mistreated, he was positive. He left it in Jehovah's hand. He had the power of legions of angels. Never used them once. And Jesus warmly commended his disciples. He said, you have stuck with me in my trials. You've been with me. Even though he knew in a few hours they were going to run for it and abandon him. And Peter, did you notice in our drama? The warm embrace that Jesus gave Peter before he ascended to heaven. And he was the man who denied him. Be positive. Jesus was confident that they would succeed as his servants. And he gave them privileges. And even Jesus was so positive. We read the scripture in Hebrews 12. When he was on the torture stake, it's not like he endured with excruciating pain. It says, he's thought of the reward, the joy that was set before him. That's what was on his mind. That's what helped him to endure. Imitate Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Maintain a spirit of gratitude. Don't dwell on past mistakes or deeds. And when anxious, confide in someone. Jehovah has helped you in the past. He'll not abandon you now. Many of you have been in the truth for years. You've endured many storms in your life. And we are so proud of you. We see your positive spirit. Oh yes, yeah, the leg doesn't move as quick as it did before. Maybe you're even in a walker now. But you're here and you're serving Jehovah God and you've got that positive spirit. Never, ever lose it. Focus on Jesus. We know what's coming. Just to help us concentrate, think about Jesus, let's go to Revelation chapter 6. To remember why we can focus on him, what he's doing right now. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 2. And I saw and look, a white horse. And the one seated on it had a bow, and a crown was given him. And he went out conquering and to complete his conquest. This depicts Jesus as a warrior king. He's been conquering since he became king in 1914. And during Armageddon, friends, he will complete his conquest. But how do we know that he's on the winning side and thus we are on the winning side? How do we know that? Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, describes the final battle. These will battle with the Lamb, but because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, the Lamb will conquer them. Also, those with him who are called and chosen and faithful will do so. You know, on one side you have Satan and tens of thousands of demons. On the other side you have Jesus as an immortal king. You have hundreds of thousands of powerful righteous angels. Top that with at this time the called and chosen will be there. You have 144,000 immortal spirit creatures. Just do the math. They don't have a hope, Satan and the demons. They already lost. They already got thrown out of heaven. This will be the final battle. The Almighty God will empower the mighty God, Jesus Christ, to accomplish this task. Revelation talks about four winds. You imagine powerful angels. You know, when you're holding something tight, after a while, your arms start to shake. So these powerful angels have been holding back the four winds. Can you imagine what will happen when they are told to let go? Wow. What do we have to concern ourselves with? Are we worried? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 25. You will not fear any sudden terror, nor the storm that is coming on the wicked. If we maintain our focus on Jesus, remember the storm is to preserve those who serve Jehovah and to accomplish the cleansing of the earth. What will be the end result? Chapter 10 of Proverbs. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 25. What will happen when the storm passes? Proverbs 10, 25. When the storm passes by, the wicked one will be no more, but the righteous one is a foundation forever. Friends, Jehovah is training us to be a foundation forever. People who are resurrected will ask you, "Oh, you went through the great tribulation. Wow. So what was it like? Tell me." We'll be able to provide training. Just think of all the work we will have to do as we bring the earth back to a paradise, as we help resurrected ones learn and start to imitate Jesus. Many of them who prophesied knew about him, but they lived and died before Jesus ever came to earth. And they'll say, "What was he like?" We said, you know what? We had a whole convention all about him. Let me tell you, matter of fact, I think I still have my notes. And after the marriage of the Lamb, Christ's thousand-year reign will begin. What an incredible time we can look forward to. And Jesus will fully apply to all obedient humans the blessings of his ransom sacrifice. How we appreciate what this ransom sacrifice will do. So friends, never allow the view of the future kingdom blessings to get out of focus. Because remember, the King is the one we are focusing on. We imitate Jesus. The miracles Jesus performed are a portent of the future kingdom blessings. Imagine welcoming back loved ones. Friends, we have one final video for you. And this video is for your heart. It's to think about the future, embedded in your mind and in your heart. So let's have our video.
With one act of defiance, mankind became lost. Alienated from the life that belongs to God. Sin and death have become inescapable for every human born on earth. With the exception of one, Jesus Christ. He used his God-given powers to heal sicknesses, feed thousands. He even resurrected people back to life. Jesus performed many miracles while on earth, but are they simply a collection of stories from the past or clues to something far grander? A glimpse into a wondrous future? A future where God will satisfy the desire of every living thing. The real life that God promises to each of his faithful servants. How can this beautiful future be possible? Because of what Jesus did for us. He came to earth for a purpose. He gave his life for those he loved. Of inherited sin and death could now be lifted from each one of us. if we look intently to Jesus, we will no longer be lost. He will show us the way to the Father.
Never forget, friends, Jehovah has made the kingdom not for angels, it's for you. All of those things, what the kingdom will do, the Bible promises, are for each one of you. He's promised that because he deeply loves you. For us, just keep focused. Focus on Jesus. When the new world starts, perhaps there will be new miracles revealed in the new world that we have never thought of. Probably Jesus has powers that are not yet fully revealed, that we will see. May none of us miss out on these blessings so close at hand. Keep your eyes of your heart focused intently on Jesus. Imitate him. That will help us now to calm the storms in our heart, to walk over turbulent waters, so to speak, in life. And if we ever just feel like we're sinking a bit, reach out for Jesus' hand. Because it doesn't say in the scriptures that Jesus had to run for 5 minutes to finally reach Peter. Peter was standing right next to Jesus. And immediately it says Jesus grabbed his hand. Grab it and hold on. You know, friends, right now we're all holding on to the hand of Jehovah God. We got one hand left to do what we need to do to serve him, to look after our family, to maintain our life. But very soon, during the Great Tribulation, we will have to let go of this hand, and we will have to reach up and hold on to the hand of Jesus Christ. Jehovah, Jesus. And they, friends, will lift us up, lift us over the storm that approaches, and place us in the new world of righteousness. What a privilege to know the truth. Never quit, never stop, never give up. Keep on serving Jehovah, imitate Jesus, and in the new world, we'll meet you there, okay?
Thank you, Brother Jung. Your talk and this entire convention has equipped us to face the future with confidence under the leadership of Jesus Christ.